If you would take your scriptures and turn with me to Psalm 82, we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. Psalm 82, would you give ear to the reading of God's word? God presides in the great assembly. He judges among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You're all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we come to you this morning because we know you're the rock. Your works are perfect and all your ways are just. You're a faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just are you. Come in among us and bless us as only you can. Help us in our thoughts, words, and deeds that everything we do will bring glory and honor to your name. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This psalm, written by Asaph, gives no clues whatsoever as to when or for what occasion it was written. However, it is full of information about why it was written. The reason behind this psalm is one as old as the nations of men. As long as men have rulers, which shall be as long as this old world exists in its present state under the rule of sin, this psalm will have a relevant message. It shouldn't be hard to see the importance of the message given here. We have been struggling for the last several decades with a decrease in the honesty and character of the men who lead this nation. A republic is only as strong as the honesty and character of those who lead it. As we have moved away from a republic more and more toward a pure democracy, we have begun to experience the danger of being pulled in to a void of good leadership. Every pure democracy in this past of this world has been drawn into a dictatorship. The reason for that is found in the idea that a leader has to be popular to be a good leader. A republic has a series of checks and balances that keep leaders insulated from some public pressure in order to allow them to make decisions based on what is good for the country, not necessarily what is popular. In Israel, the insulating factor was God's law. The leaders of Israel were expected and commanded to follow God's law in making their decisions and not what was popular. If you step back and look at our nation, the same thing is true of our leaders. They were in the beginning expected to have a standard of conduct that was divine in origin and thus something that could give them stability in their decision-making process. As we looked at our nation today, and please understand, I think we live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, but I'm not naive enough to overlook the problems before us. It has to be evident to anyone with any kind of minimal religious training that the United States is in the midst of a moral war and the good guys aren't doing too well at this moment. In this psalm, Asaph deals with the judgment God pronounces against those who lead and fail to hold to the divine standard God has laid out in his word. You must understand, this is not only applicable to the leaders of Israel, but also to leaders of every nation in the era of the existence of mankind. It goes further than just the leaders of a nation. It applies to anyone who holds authority over another, be they civil or military leaders, parents, teachers, church leaders, or employers. If God has given you authority over another human being, then you are subject to his review. Therefore, you must be very careful to carry out your duties with the utmost concern for those who are under your care. Let's look at Psalm 82 and learn how God will judge those who judge others without compassion and mercy. There are no divisions in this short passage. I gave you an outline, but it only shows the different facets of the writer's argument, not any divisions of thought. What this psalm teaches is about authority, and especially about the misuse of authority. It shows the judgment that will come on those who are leaders that pervert their duties for self-gain. First, we should examine the sovereign court of our God. Second, we will look at the serious issues in that court. Third, we shall study the strict command leaders are called to follow. Fourth, the swift answer to their failure will come before us. Fifth, we shall observe the somber conviction. And last, we will hear a very salient conclusion. God has entrusted to mankind the work of ensuring that justice is carried out in this world. It is God who established the nations and set their boundaries. It is God who appoints rulers of nations. Everyone placed in authority over you is placed there by divine appointment. Who then are those in authority answerable to? Verse 1. God presides in the great assembly. He judges among the gods. I think this makes pretty clear. God is the supreme president of all the courts and assemblies of men. It is God and God alone who shall judge the actions and dictates of all other judges and leaders. He has his eye on the activities of all courts, legislatures, and executives of this world. If you have even minimal authority over another, then you are under the ever-watchful eye of God, and you shall be judged by him on how you exercise your authority. Those who are given authority are given it to exercise it for the good of others, never for their own benefit. They are the ones who are mighty and have strength. They are deserving of honor. In this case, Asaph calls them gods. These are men who have been given authority by God to carry out his decrees in this world. The carrying out of any authority is a godlike activity. God gives some men a place of authority so they may carry out his decrees. Anyone with authority is acting in the place of God. All authority comes from God. Jesus said of himself, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Well, who gave him that authority? God the Father. The purpose of establishing governments was to establish order. In the doctrine of the two swords, God established governments so we would have an orderly society in which the gospel could be spread. It was the purpose of the government, their representatives, to keep that order. In the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews instructs believers to submit to every authority placed over them. In Hebrews 13:17a, he says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority." In 1 Peter 2, verses 13 and 14, a command is given us. "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." You are called as a believer to respect and honor all authority. You're to hear their words. You are to obey them just as you would obey God, for they're acting in his place. They are there for your protection and for God's glory. Problem comes when these men try to throw God out and do things their own way for their own purposes. When they do that, then you can be assured God is not going to allow them to escape punishment. His justice will come on them. This first verse makes clear that they shall come before his judgment seat and receive divine justice. It is God who will make every right wrong right and will punish all who fail to carry out his law in the judgments they make. No one who is given authority in this world will be allowed to escape punishment for taking to themselves more than belongs to them. God will in the end judge their pride and arrogance. Any ruler who is overcome with an infatuation of his own power will be brought to God's court, charged, and convicted of a very serious crime. So many men who have been given this trust have taken it and tried to cast God out and remove him as though they were above him. This is nothing more than their vain imaginations binding their hearts as it did Pharaoh. In the end, Pharaoh was judged and found wanting in God's court, as will all who fail to acknowledge that God is the source of their power and give to him all the glory for his justice that comes through their courts. First question we must answer as we look at verse 2 is, who's speaking and about whom are they talking? Verse 2, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Now some say God is here speaking to the judges of this world. Others say it's the prophet who speaks to these judges. I tend to agree with the latter. It's the prophet who speaks. Asaph is preparing to make his case against all who would dishonor God by false judgments. And I think verse 3 and 4 are doing exactly that. Men who are given places of authority in this world may very well lift their own heads higher than the clouds. However, in the end, they will find that they, along with all mankind, are under the rule of the sovereign judge of this universe. When they struggle to remove themselves from obedience to his divine counsel, they place pride before reason. Men who take leadership and abuse it, and abuse those they are called to lead, are the cruelest and lowest of men. They are usurpers, taking power they were entrusted with to help others and using it as a club against the weak and helpless. Men who abuse their wives and children are excellent examples of this, along with those who are tyrants and dictators. They destroy the very ones they're called upon to protect. These type of men never accept the blame for their actions. They think because of the position they hold, they're above all accountability. They claim a divine right to do anything they want. Somehow they think because they were placed in charge, they have an exemption to the law. John Calvin says of them, they think they can be no sovereignty unless where uncontrolled license is enjoyed. In other words, they believe they're free from all restraints, including those instituted by God. It must be understood by all men, those in authority and those under authority, God rules among men. No one is exempt from obedience to his commands. It is only where this principle is understood that divine truth becomes in society the foundation of social intercourse. There's no other way justice can be upheld. The prophet lays the grounds for charges against unjust judges with this. He says, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? The natural inclination of the wicked is to congregate and be friends with other wicked people. These unjust judges take bribes from other wicked men. They give special consideration to others with the same wicked natures they have. Instead of doing what they were called to do, help the righteous. The serious issue the prophet brings out is that wicked men will always find more favor at the hands of these evil judges than the righteous will. What has happened to justice in their hands? It's disappeared. It's become but a memory. But take heart, my friend. God is the one who is in control of this world. Yes, even in the courts of these wicked men. It is God who will in the end bring justice on these evil men. They will see his justice. They will be brought to the end of their wicked ways. In verses 3 and 4, Asaph points out the duties of those in authority. Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They're to take up the cause of those entrusted to their care and keep them safe, meet their needs, and protect them from harm. The job they were given is to ensure the peaceful life of all under their care. The government ensures the peace of the nation. Now that's the first half of this doctrine of the two swords. The second half is the church. The church has a commission to carry the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the world. So we see the government is a civil sword. Its primary purpose is peace. The church is the other sword, the spiritual sword, and its primary purpose is the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Unless a nation has good moral men and leadership, men that understand their purpose, that nation can fall into terrible times of turmoil. Our nation over the last half century has tried to take over every area of people's lives. They run education, welfare, retirement. They've just taken over the medical field. These are not areas the government was commissioned to do. These don't establish peace. Instead, they become areas of contention. The cause of that contention is the wickedness of those entrusted to run the programs. The same is true of our churches. Many churches today are involved in everything but the spread of the gospel. They have pushed the preaching and teaching of the word completely out because they think they know a better way to win people to Christ. They have abandoned the care and concern of the weak and helpless. That is obvious from all of the clergy we see involved in child abuse and sexual sin today. All those given authority, civil, military, ecclesiastical, family, education, or business, have a responsibility to those under them. They have the authority along with a strict command. Use your authority to protect, to care for, and to help those entrusted to you. What is the answer to this terrible problem? Why does this happen? Look at verse 5. They know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. What is the answer to the question, why does this happen? It's very simple. These men don't acknowledge there's a God who is in control. They don't give honor and glory to God. They walk in the darkness of an unregenerate heart. When someone comes to one of these judges with a problem, the judge is more interested in protecting his friends than he is in giving justice to the weak and poor. He will ignore the complaint of the victim in order to protect the interest of those like him or those who will pay him a nice bribe. They walk in complete darkness. They can't see the clear responsibility they have been given. They don't care about the duty they were called to. The only thing they care about is themselves. Herein is the problem. You can't be concerned about others until you have cleared away the fog of self. Man is totally deprived. He can't see God. He can't hear God's word. He is spiritually dead. The only thing that means anything to an unregenerate man is his own wants and desires. The husband that mistreats his wife, the father that abuses his children, the employer that steals his employees' wages, the governor that perverts the law, the clergyman that doesn't protect his charges, all have one thing in common. They are all consumed with self. When God calls a man to take up the mantle of leadership, he calls him to focus on the needs of others above his own. This is a difficult thing for any man to do. Only the man who knows this God in a personal way can begin to put self aside and focus his attention on meeting the needs of those under his charge. For everyone who takes up the call of leadership and fails, there's a very somber conviction laid before them. Verses 6 and 7. I said, you are gods. You're all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. What he means by this is that every judge, every leader has been invested as a man with a sacred character and a place. He says, you're gods. The idea here is that being any man who is entrusted with authority over others has a divine position. Fathers, husbands, leaders, judges, elders, teachers, generals, all in authority, are exercising a divine right and privilege. They stand as examples of God's justice in this world. Anyone with such a place who doesn't exercise with care and concern the work given him is in grave danger. To have God's name bestowed on you is an awesome responsibility and must not be taken lightly. Jesus explains this idea in John 10, 34 and 35. Is it not written in your law, I have said you're gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken? Jesus is saying, those who are entrusted with the authority of God's word are called gods. They are called this because they have the responsibility to declare the truth and to teach the truth of God to others. He goes on to say, were some benefits accrued for properly handling the duty given? Yes, of course. But now, because of your failure and your perversion, you will die like mere men. Men who are unregenerate, men destined to an eternity in hell. You will fall like every other leader who has been negligent of his true duty. Adam's the first example we can show of a fall, such a fall. Adam was given the responsibility for the whole human race. He had only one simple command to keep. He was not to eat of the tree, but he thought he saw a shortcut to God's blessings. He wasn't concerned about the devastation he could bring to all men. He was only interested in getting a greater blessing quicker. God warned him, if you eat, you will surely die. As soon as he ate of that fruit, he fell into a state of spiritual death from which he could never save himself. The same warning is given to everyone who has authority over others. If you fail, then a death devoid of grace will be your reward. The conclusion Asaph comes to is found in verse 8. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all nations are your inheritance. What Asaph sees is you can't reason with those who reject God as their true sovereign. So he turns to call on God to come and judge these wicked men, to show them that he is the one and only true and living God who is sovereign over the affairs of all of this creation. The prophet has seen that no amount of debating with these men will turn them away from their arrogance and pride. He understands that the only recourse of those afflicted by their injustice is to appeal to a higher judge. For you, this is where you find your comfort. You learn here that it is by the means of God's justice that the Holy Spirit provides all believers with the grounds of comfort whenever they are mistreated and persecuted by wicked men. Now, it may appear that no power on this earth can stop these wicked men. However, you know they can be stopped. And your duty is to carry before the throne of the living God prayers against their evil acts. The assurance has been given no one in authority will be able to escape God's justice. They shall be dealt with in the divine court of our God. God doesn't reveal himself as the divine judge of this world in vain. He will in the end right every wrong and bring to justice all the wicked. The reason he will do this is stated in the last phrase of this verse. For all nations are your inheritance. There's a twofold understanding of these words. First, it's understood to be a reference to Jesus Christ in his second coming. For it is through Christ that all nations will be brought into subjection to God. Second, it is seen as the right of God to obedience from all nations. He is the one who appoints all leaders, and all leaders are his servants and owe to him their loyalty. No one bears rule over anything or anyone that they did not receive that place from God. Therefore, it is only God who can restore to this world order and peace. We understand. He's doing that even as we speak through the work of Jesus Christ and his church and the preaching of the gospel. If it is only God who can bring order out of confusion, peace out of war, and justice out of injustice, leaves your responsibility as believers very clear. You must lift your voice in prayer that God will remove those who are bad leaders and establish those who are good leaders. If all who name the name of Jesus Christ in this nation were to stand up, if they were to demand that those who lead them and judge them had a divine standard by which to act, our nation would indeed be blessed. It would be blessed because God would be exalted through the actions of our leaders. We would be making a very strong declaration that we know that we are a part of the inheritance of God. My friends, as those who trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone, you have a clear responsibility. You are called to hear God's word and to live your lives by His commands. There's not a single adult here this morning that doesn't have a place of authority over someone in some way. Therefore, the message of this psalm applies to all of you. There's only one way you can properly carry out this duty, and it's by committing yourself to Jesus Christ, listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, by turning away from your sins and repenting of your rebellion, by hearing the call of Christ and receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. To refuse to do this means you will perish and never see eternal life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, what a gracious God you are. You have laid before us life and death, and you have called us to trust in life and in life alone, and to know that we receive that life only through Jesus Christ. Open the hearts of everyone here, Father, to grow in their knowledge and understanding of Christ and all that He has done for them. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.